Talk of impeachment is in the air. A group of legislators in the Missouri House is beginning their investigation of Governor Eric Greitens following his indictment on a felony invasion of privacy charge. But Missouri hasn't had an impeachment proceeding since 1994. There's never been one for governor. So how this will go? That's anybody's guess. I'm Brian Ellison. As Missouri wades into uncharted territory, we're mapping out the possibilities and the impact on the people of the state on this episode of Statehouse Blend Missouri. So when you think of impeachment, what do you think of? Presidents, right? Richard Nixon, I bet. Bill Clinton, maybe. If you're a real history nerd, Andrew Johnson. You know the general idea, an elected official is removed from office for some sort of offense. But how does that really work? And specifically, how does it work here in Missouri? What's different here than in Washington, D.C., or any other state? To help us fill in the details of how it would work if Governor Greitens ends up joining that list of impeached officials, we're enlisting the help of my KCUR colleague, newscaster Lisa Rodriguez.
All right, Brian. My newscasts lately have been filled with Greitens news.
Yes.
And a lot of it alludes to the possibility that the governor could be impeached. How does that work exactly?
Okay, so the process begins with the House conducting an investigation. And the way that the House has decided to do that is they have put together a committee, five Republicans and two Democrats. They will decide whether to bring articles of impeachment for a vote by the whole House. The chair of that committee, Jay Barnes, a representative Republican, has said that he intends to focus on the crimes that are alleged in the particular indictment that has come out of St. Louis, this felony invasion of privacy charge. But should their investigation lead them to other things or other concerns that they have, there's nothing saying they couldn't pursue that.
For the committee to recommend articles of impeachment or bring articles of impeachment, does the governor actually have to have committed a crime?
Well, no, actually. Impeachment is not a criminal justice process. It's a political process. So even though the representative, Jay Barnes, said that that's his main focus, under the Constitution, committing a crime is only one of the possible grounds for impeachment. Misconduct in office and even something, whatever this means, moral turpitude can be grounds for the House bringing in impeachment. Now, whether someone else would vote to convict on those of that charge is a different question.
So if the House then does vote to impeach, then what happens?
So that's one of the really interesting things in Missouri. In most states and in the federal government, after the House votes to impeach, the Senate becomes sort of a trial court. But not in Missouri. In Missouri, the Supreme Court is the trial court for most impeachments, for everyone, in fact, except the governor or a Supreme Court justice. And so in Missouri, the Senate has to elect a commission of, quote, seven eminent jurists.
And what is an eminent jurist?
This is a good question. A jurist, apparently, at least as the Senate or as the state has gone on to define this by statute, an eminent jurist is a judge. It has to be an active judge, not a retired judge. It has to be someone at one of the state's appellate courts or in a trial court somewhere around the state. Now, that's actually a pretty wide range of people. This could be some county judge elected by the people of a small county in the state, or it could be one of the three appointed appellate judges who go through that Missouri nonpartisan court plan. So we don't know. Eminent. I don't know which judges are eminent and which ones aren't. So probably all of them are eligible.
Right. Impeaching a governor seems like it should be a cut and dry black and white thing, but I feel like there's a lot of this feels nebulous.
Right.
Why?
Because it's never happened. There's no playbook. And if the House does bring articles of impeachment, there's no precedent for how the House debates about whether a governor has risen to that level. And then when it goes to this commission, they'll all be picking up their gavels and putting on their robes with no particular precedent. We're talking elsewhere in this episode with the judge who presided or was part of the court that decided the last impeachment, which was of the Secretary of State in 1994. But the impact of a governor's impeachment trial would be so much greater on the dynamics and the political lifeblood of the state that we really don't know what we're in for.
Is there a possibility that the committee would bring articles of impeachment and then the House would vote not to impeach?
It is possible. In fact, I think it's very possible. The Republicans have more than 2-to-1 majority in the State House. There's a interesting cross-section of not the most political Republicans on this committee, it is possible that the committee could bring those articles and not have that support in the rest of the caucus. I think we have to wait and see.
All right. Well, I guess we will.
I think that uncharted territory is probably a pretty good way of putting it.
That's Representative Gina Mitten. She's one of the state representatives assigned to the committee investigating Governor Greitens. He's accused of taking a photo without consent of the woman he's admitted having an affair with. Mitten is an assistant Democratic leader in the House, one of only two women on the investigating committee. I wanted to know, what were her expectations for this unique moment in Missouri government? And once this starts, could this group end up talking about more than just Greitens' invasion of privacy charge?
I don't think the governor's been impeached in the state of Missouri in the history of the state. The rules are a little bit different now than they were. The House rules are a little bit different now than they have been when the last impeachment occurred, which was of Judith Moriarty back in the 90s. I don't think that's a problem to the extent that each case and each individual and each set of allegations is different. And I know that as just as a practicing attorney. So the fact is that we're going to embark upon an investigation and we're going to hear some evidence and we'll see what happens next.
You mentioned you're a practicing attorney. You're the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee. How much of this is law and how much of this is politics?
Well, I want to say that there's a Supreme Court case, and I could be wrong that it's the Supreme Court, but I know that there is a quote somewhere that says impeachments are by their nature political. I don't know that I completely subscribe to that idea, but the fact that our Constitution says that it happens in the General Assembly, which is by its nature political, there's obviously a component to that. However, I also think that it's important to note that both the chair of the committee and myself and Representative Kevin Austin from the Springfield area, who is another member of the committee, are all practicing attorneys. And I do think that it's important that we have that perspective, a group of folks that just understand how law works generally, how to proceed with our training and skill set.
You know, the day that this committee was announced, Representative Barnes spoke about how it will focus on the underlying claims behind the indictment, the crime that is alleged to have occurred in the felony invasion of privacy indictment. Is that what you think should be the limitations of this committee? Is that the only crime that this committee should be looking into? The things that a governor can be impeached for are somewhat broader than that in the state constitution.
It seems to me that the fact that an indictment came down is, look, it's a serious charge, okay? And I think that it's important that the members of the House look into that. Now, I'm not going to say whether or not there may be other issues that become a subject of the investigation. I don't know that. I don't have a crystal ball. I am certainly on the record several times over the past year listing the litany of what I consider to be the governor's poor behavior, inappropriate mm-hmm. behavior. Now, whether any of those items would give rise to, you know, an impeachment or investigative hearing, I honestly haven't really thought about that. I'm focusing now on the indictment that's in front of us.
Yeah.
But, the way in which, for instance, you know, the way in which the Desi situation was handled is certainly something that I disapprove of and do not think was an appropriate way for a leader to handle things.
These were the nominations to the State Board of Education that were made, several of them, in an effort to remove the superintendent of public instruction.
Right. Making recess appointments, having them get sworn in, pulling them off because it appears that they're not going to vote the way that he wants to, then putting somebody else on. I think it took him 10 tries to get 5 picks that were willing to all vote the way that he wanted. That's not an impeachable offense, okay? I don't think that it's an appropriate way to lead. I certainly disapprove of it, but it's you know, I have never asked for an investigation or tried to file articles of impeachment in response to that bad behavior. I take this very seriously, as I know that every other member of the committee does, and I think that it's important that we keep that in mind.
You're one of two women out of the 7 members on this committee. I'm curious if you think you're bringing something different as a woman to this conversation and to this investigation in the committee. Is there something that you believe that you in particular will be interested in that it's important for the committee to hear that it might not otherwise be?
I'm going to say that I believe that women bring a woman's perspective to everything that they do. And I think that women make up more than half of the population of the state of Missouri, yet we make up less than 25% of the General Assembly. I think that that is a problem in all aspects of political life.
And you are one of those who has gone out of your way to try to make the Capitol a better, safer place for women. You've got a bill this year that requires lobbyists to get sexual harassment training. Do you feel like there's been progress in this regard during the 6-plus years you've been in the legislature?
I do. I will say progress, but not perfect. And yes, it is better. I think that all members are now more cognizant of the way that women are treated and the way that we treat each other. You know, women's rights are human rights. They're not just women's issues. And some of the behavior that many would label as sexist is frankly just disrespectful, and it can happen to, you know, bad behavior and disrespectful behavior can happen to anybody. Unfortunately, it seems that it's predominantly directed towards women.
Yeah. Is this all about the governor? Is this about, and I'm asking you as a Democrat who has been very critical of the governor, is this all about the governor himself and his bad choices or his personality or what have you? Or is there something more systemic at work that everybody can do something about?
I think that there is something more systemic at work to the extent that we have become so polarized and tribalist in our thinking about partisan politics. And we see this on a national level. I think that we certainly see it in the state of Missouri. The level of camaraderie is not the same in 2018 as it was in 2013. And I think that that shows in myriad ways. And if we could do more to respect each other, I think that that would go a long way for our communities, for our state, and for our country. I think that the 2016 election, whether you're looking at it at a state level or on a national level, certainly created a situation where we sort of chose sides. We backed each other up against the walls and did a lot of talking at each other, but not a lot of talking with each other. And so I do believe that this is a systemic issue. And I think that I know that we can do better as human beings. It would be do us all some good to quit name calling, quit bullying. I think that when adults behave in a bullying fashion, we are sending terrible messages to our children. And did a little bit more to try and listen to each other and have reasonable and sometimes animated debate, but it's not personal. I think that if all of Missourians and all Americans could stop and take a breath and think about that for a minute, we would all do a little bit better.
The last time someone was impeached in Missouri was 1994. Secretary of State, Democrat Judith Moriarty, was accused of essentially backdating her son's forms to file for political office after the deadline had already passed. After the House voted to bring articles of impeachment, since it was an official other than the governor, the state Supreme Court heard the case. One of the seven judges was Edward Robertson, Jr., who served on the High Court for 13 years.
Call me Chip, would you?
Call
everybody
you Chip.
Does? No reason for you not to.
Okay, fair enough. I realized that I don't know exactly what the formal address is for someone who was a judge but hasn't been for some years now.
I don't know if there is one.
Now, as the state prepares to go through this process again, I thought it might be interesting to ask Judge Robertson, Chip, to share what he remembers about the last time this happened. And I asked about one of those complications with an impeachment proceeding, the way politics involving elected officials deciding about other elected officials gets mixed up with the legal judicial system, which in theory at least is supposed to avoid looking political.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that we had to work through. So one of the things that we had to write in the opinion is, what is our job here? Because if you leave it between the House and the Senate, it can be a purely political thing. It's just, if There can be political reasons for it and not legal reasons.
Almost by design, right? Those are elected officials for that purpose.
That's correct. And so we decided that there was a political process. That's the impeachment part of it. And politics could play whatever role politics played. But once it got to the court, it had to be a judicial process. It had to have the same kinds of rules of evidence, and a burden of proof was established, which was clear and convincing evidence, which is a little bit more than you need in a normal civil case. And we tried to treat it as though it were a judicial or a legal question rather than a political one.
You were appointed to the bench by a Republican governor. Were you feeling any political pressure because of that? Were you and the other justices conscious of who were the R's and who were the D's among you?
Well, I'd say no. I think most of us had been appointed at that point by Governor Ashcroft. You hear so many cases on the Supreme Court that have political overtones that you become sort of deaf to them if you're doing your job properly. I think that was a good court, and there was never any political concern there. And in fact, I can remember thinking that we've got to be sure that this doesn't look political. So it may have been that Secretary Moriarty got perhaps a little more benefit of the doubt than if she had been a Republican, and because we ultimately did not want to face the criticism that is sort of embedded in your question. Did you actually make a political decision rather than a legal one?
One of the unique things about an impeachment process under the Missouri Constitution, when it involves the governor or a Supreme Court justice or a Supreme Court judge, is that the trial is not only not by the Senate, it's also not by the Supreme Court. It's by a panel of, quote, seven eminent jurists who are selected by the Senate. What do you think that phrase means? What kinds of jurists should the Senate be thinking about should that become necessary in the case that we're currently dealing with?
Well, it's interesting. I think there's a statute that sort of describes what an eminent jurist is. So, you know, we all know what eminent means, and I'm pretty confident that every judge believes he or she is eminent.
Yeah, it'd be a shame to be eliminated from consideration because you aren't
right.
Eminent enough.
That's right. None of the appellate judges are elected, and some of the trial judges are elected. In rural Missouri, for instance, all of them are, but in Kansas City, none of them is elected. And so you end up with the Senate has this limited group of people from which it can draw, but it also can find people that are more political than others, assuming that all judges who are active are eminent. The safe route would be to get appellate judges or judges who've been selected under the Missouri Nonpartisan Court Plan, because then you could always stand back and say, we never picked a political person in the group.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Senate, and the interesting part about this is that one of their former colleagues is the lieutenant governor, who would, you know, I'm sure, become the governor. And then there'd be an opening, and there may be a bunch of Republican senators in there who think maybe they ought to be lieutenant governor. And so, you know, I've never been clever enough to figure out how the political mind works, but it's not a straightforward path from here to there, let's put it that way.
You know, since you aren't on the bench anymore, haven't been for a while, I guess you are free to talk about this. Do you have any thoughts about the current case against Governor Greitens?
Well, I do, and for reasons that I'm not free to go into at this particular moment, I'm not in a position to tell you what they are.
Fair enough.
All I know, when another reporter called me about this, I said, I don't want to say much about it except this, that when John Ashcroft was governor, we didn't have these kinds of problems.
And we will leave it at that. The House committee could begin their investigation as early as this week, with their report due for now on April 9th. Uncharted waters, to be sure. Hopefully, though, we're now all just a little more able to navigate them. Statehouse Blend Missouri is a production of KCUR. Matt Hodapp produces the show. Special thanks to Aaron Hennessy and Will James of KNKX in Seattle and Tacoma for their help this week. For Missouri politics news all week long, follow me on Twitter at PTSBrian. I'm Brian Ellison. Thanks for listening.